Hi.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, no.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Creative Alchemist. I am your host, Ted Santos, and I am always joined by, tell them you're here.
Hi, it's Lori Miller, and I am also your host for the show, The Creative Alchemist, interior designer, mental health professional, and we have a special guest today to discuss how to help in the crisis, creating opportunities for your business. So we welcome our guest, Salima Mandami. Hi, Salima.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having
me. Thanks for joining us. Yeah, thank you for joining us on this. You have a very interesting background, and you and I were talking. You're originally from Queens, so Lori and I are here. I'm in Jersey. Lori's in New York, and we're in your old stomping ground. So
exactly. Well, I haven't been in Queens. I left Queens a long time ago, but I also left my heart there. So
good.
I left mine in LA. So we're all leaving it.
So we're connecting you back to your heart. This is great. This is great. This topic is extremely interesting and extremely relevant to what's happening today. I think I'm getting a little echo or feedback. Is that, am I coming through clearly?
Very clear.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, I can hear you clearly.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah, so I just want to say, go ahead, Ted.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say that Salima is marketing person extraordinaire. And a little while back, I was having some social media issues. So this is a personal connection for me as well. And with some assistance and Salima's guidance and her special program, which I'm going to allow her to introduce, I increased my followers by thousands. And I increased my business as well. So my revenue went up, my followers on all of my social media accounts went up, and I've actually gotten feedback that people love reading my posts. So I want to thank Salima, and I thought she'd be a great guest because I know that she's effective personally and firsthand.
Well, thank you so much.
So thank you, Salima.
And how about we talk about you as a case study in some of my later on today?
Yes, okay, we can talk about case studies.
Testimonials are always great to hear. Yes.
So, Ted, you were going to ask Salima or talk to Salima about?
Well, I was just going to talk about the topic, which is this crisis creating opportunities for your business? So this talk show podcast is always focused on business and the human element of your business. And right now, the human element around the world is in crisis. We're in chaos. And people are working from home. The stock market has been crashing, and so there's some level of doom and gloom, except when you really take a step back and look at what's happening, you begin to see patterns in chaos, and many industries have opportunities. And so when Salima and I were talking about this economic environment and the virus, we thought that it really does create some opportunities. So that's why we want to talk about specifically interior design, except this really can apply to anyone in any business. So the question is this crisis creating opportunities for your business? And before we start answering that question and having people call in, I want to let people know we're taking calls, so you can call in and ask Salima any question or myself or Lori, and the phone number is 516-387-1640. That's 516-387-1640. So before we get into the opportunities, Salima, why don't you tell them a little bit about yourself? They know you're from Queens and your heart is still here. Tell them who you are and what you do. You know, you're a marketer. So, and from what you and I talked about, you literally eat your own cooking. So you don't just recommend that people do something. You actually follow your own advice. So why don't we just start off and tell them who you are and what you do?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, first of all, for having me here. My name is Salima Namjani, and I'm an entrepreneur and a marketing coach. Right now, my focus is to help interior designers, decorators, and home stylists grow their business and basically actually build a business that supports their lifestyle. So I have been in the marketing world for more than two decades. I started out with working, I have an MBA, I worked with some of the, I guess, top 500 or blue chip companies. And then in about, what would it be, 14 years ago, I launched my own marketing consultancy and later grew it to a successful seven-figure marketing agency. Now, I want to talk about two events that are really relevant to establish, I guess, my story and to give some kind of a context around what makes me so excited and also so hopeful with everything else that's going on today and how that impacts, I guess, humans, which is the first criteria to be on this call, and business owners. So I'll take you back to 2003, which is when my first child, my daughter, was born. And in 2003 in Toronto, we were hit pretty bad by SARS. I don't know, Ted or Lori, do you remember hearing about SARS? We were in the hospital. My daughter was, you know, was we were expecting her to come and come out any minute. And that night when we were in the hospital, a patient checked in who was diagnosed with SARS. And that literally brought Toronto to its knees. The whole city shut down because it was before very prevalent in Hong Kong. It was, and then the second city that was hit really hard, it was Toronto. So we were actually in the hospital that this happened in. And so the hospital shut down that night. Everyone was sent home. My husband, father of a newborn, was sent home. He wasn't allowed to return until I was discharged. And then we were in quarantine for 14 days with a new baby. We had no idea what to do, right? Didn't have social media, didn't have apps to order Uber, you know, Eats and stuff like that. But we survived, right? We figured out how to learn everything we need to learn about raising a newborn or, you know, taking care of a newborn, immediate needs, and taking care of ourselves as new parents. And that was an interesting time. It taught us a lot about resilience and about refocusing on what's important, on care for ourselves, but also others, and social distancing, as people call it. That was our life for the first 14 days. And the second thing I wanted to tell you about is, so then I was actually at that time working for, do you guys remember Sprint telecommunication?
Yes.
I used to work, I was doing marketing for Sprint. I moved on to American Express from there, managing different levels of marketing. And after a couple of other corporate gigs, I decided to leave the corporate world behind, the comfort, the paycheck, the health benefits, to start my own consultancy. And lo and behold, that was 2008 when the stock market crashed. So I had no indication that that was going to happen. I wasn't able to go back to work because I had left. And it was a pretty difficult time to convince business owners, my potential clients, to hire a marketer, right? So I actually really got to cut my teeth when things were really, really difficult. And I find that that is what a lot of business owners are experiencing right now. So when you're saying crisis, like I have gone through this a few times in personal life as well as in business life. And one thing is for certain, you need a few, you need some clarity. And we're going to talk about that in a little while. I'll talk about how I grew my business when most of the people were saying no, how I got my first contracts, and we'll talk about what skill sets as well. So not just your mindset, but also skill set that's important to help you navigate through this time.
Right.
Great. Well said.
Yeah, it's ironic that it's all the same things that are happening now. We're shut down, the stock market crash, it's like everything. So you really have lived through this.
Yes, I lived through this before in two different stages, and I feel like now we're going through this all over again. But together, right? Because of the health challenges. I mean, what we were going through in SARS was nothing compared to what we're living through now in COVID. This is like a pandemic. It's a global challenge.
Right.
But, you know, I think the silver lining in this case is that we're all in this together, right? You don't have to tell clients how they're feeling. They're going to tell you how they're feeling because everyone is going through this. Whereas when I was in, when it was SARS for us, we were a bit more isolated.
Right.
Okay.
Well, you were up in Canada too, so I'm sure much more isolated than in New York.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So one of the things that I'm in the interior design groups, you know, and I hear it across the board. I've also been hearing it in my mental health groups, but you know, how do you market without being insensitive? Because you don't want people to think like, oh, there's nothing more important than, you know, your superficial kitchen. But we also want to be there and be like, listen, we know that you're, you know, looking at your kitchen. We know that, like, you're home now and you're kind of seeing all the things that need to be fixed. Or, you know, we are here. We do care. We're all stuck in our houses, you know, and we all want to make the best of it. So how do you do that without being insensitive?
Absolutely. So, you know, first and foremost, and I think that's the essence of your program as well. Let's, you know, what is the human issue at hand? And this crisis is bringing out the humanity in so many of us. Yes, there are some people who are hoarders, and there are people who are obnoxious, and there are people who are, you know, conspiracy theorists and all of that stuff. We're not going to put our effort there. We know that the majority of people are also, I mean, are good. There's a good in them. And they are, most of the people right now are quarantined. So people are staying home and they are experiencing, you know, the challenges that they were having with their kitchen before. Now they're having it 24/7.
Right.
You're cooking three meals a day. Like if it was tough to wake up an hour before to make lunches for everyone and then, you know, and then rush out to work and then come home and barely cook dinner, now you're forced to stay home to have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And for some of them, a lot of my friends, they've got their college students who've come home. So now you've got a house full of adults. We're all, you know, cramming into the same space. We're using the bathroom all at once, all in the same schedule. So you've got some space planning challenges that were maybe minor before, but now they're right there in your face 24/7. There are people who have, you know, who are trying to figure out, who had challenges with their bedrooms or any other part of their home it's now front and center, right? So it's just put a big spotlight
right.
in that. So you don't even have, it's not even a matter of a luxury. What interior design professionals and decorators provide as a service is vital for some of those people, right? Many people, I would say, start out the year, if it's a big project like an expansion, a renovation, or a kitchen redo, or a bathroom remodel, those projects are not something that people generally like wake up one day and go, oh, I'm going to get myself a, you know, a new bathroom. It's something that they think about,
right.
they plan, and they might have thought about doing it sometime in their spring or summertime. And now it's, you know, both spouses are at home. They're sitting there thinking about it. They're looking at it going, why don't we get started? So you got to think about the positivity in this. You've got to think of, and they want to get going.
Now, I guess I'll be the devil's advocate. What about the people who have lost their jobs, who are going on unemployment? You know, I mean, that's definitely a struggle for them, and we're considered a luxury business.
Yeah. I mean, definitely there are going to be people who have lost their jobs. But every time you, even when you were working before, right, and you were sending out proposals,
right.
when business was usual, it's not possible that 100% of your business proposals were always accepted, right? People had money
right.
challenges. When they saw the full
right.
scope, the full project, some of them would have second thoughts about it. So instead
right.
of focusing on the negative and those people who have lost their jobs, what about the executives who have not lost their jobs and are now working from home?
Right.
Right.
What about those people that, and I'll tell you, one of the ways that when people apply for my program, Fully Booked Designer, it's an application process. And I ask them who their ideal clients are. Well, you know what the most common answer is? The rich and the busy, right?
Right.
Everybody wants to work with the people who can afford interior design services, right? People who are rich and who
right.
are busy, who are too busy to do it themselves. Well, guess what?
Right.
Those people are still around. Many of them still have jobs. The executives have their position still. They're just now working remotely from home.
Right.
And I mean, I'm not being, I don't think I'm being obtuse and saying that the economy is untouched and everything is business as normal. But I think even when things are hunky-dory and everything is working fine, there will be people who can't afford those services. So you don't let
right.
them stop you then, right? You still go out there and you find people who want your services, who need your services, who can afford your services. So instead of, like, stopping now in your marketing efforts, you continue to look for people that still have jobs and they want to get their kitchen
right.
done. Except that now it's a different reality. You won't be able to go to their homes to do their measurements. You won't be able to, you know, do an in-home consultation. So you'll have to improvise and you'll have to get them to help you with the process as well. Right?
It's
an education point. It's a conversation point.
Right.
So I think
that
would be actually a really good thing for us to start with. Your question kind of leads me right into what every business owner, not just designers and decorators, need to think about is that this is a global problem. It is a crisis.
Right.
But us as human beings, right, and business owners, we're meant to be creative. We're born to be creative.
Right.
We have to think about what value we bring. So we have a choice every single day whether we want to be, you know, looking at the glass half empty or glass half full, right? And
right.
we can focus. It's not to say that there is no negativity, but just as much as you can put your effort and your energy into all the wrong things that are going on, can also look for the positive in this. Like I said, you know, for
right.
designers, their clients are now at home. They're experiencing
right.
the challenges. For
all those people that you sent out a proposal to and you, and they said, well, I need to talk to my spouse about it, guess what? The spouse is now around. So they can have that discussion for the most part, right? The other thing positivity and negativity, we have a choice. We have a choice as business owners to choose fear and let that guide us, or faith that this will be over, or that there is some silver linings, there is some opportunities for me, and let me go find them, right?
Right.
So the choice is up to us, and we have to make those choices every single day to expand or to contract.
So let's take a step back and look at some of those opportunities. So actually, for an interior designer, there is an opportunity here. So if you look at a household where both people work, even though people have their homes and they love their homes, most people spend more time at work or dedicated to work, whether it's the commute to work, if that's an hour, and then you're 8 hours at work and a commute back. So that's 10 hours. So when you come home, even if you have some sore spot or something you know you want to change, you're not really dealing with it. Now it's in your face 24/7. So to have this thing that you thought about and maybe we'll do it in the spring or it's been put off for more than a year, now it's in your face 24/7, and it's like that thing that you never really liked but didn't deal with it because you spend more time at work. Now you actually have the ideal opportunity to do something about it and the motivation to do it.
Yeah.
And so I'm willing to bet there are more people like that than most interior designers realize. So the crisis of hurting the economy hasn't destroyed it, because look at the amount of toilet paper people are buying, right? Going down.
Right.
So
yeah.
People are still spending money, right? So they're buying food, they're buying other things that they need, and people who have that kind of disposable income to spend on a kitchen or a bathroom or the living room, or the money is going to be there, as you were saying, Salima. If you're an executive, you're just working from home. And that thing that you hated looking at, now you want to do something about it.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
And in fact, I mean, I can think of multiple couples who are both, as what we would like to say, power couples, right? They're both executives and they're both working from home. So the decision-making time should actually be faster, right? To book an appointment with them would be faster. For them to make, you know, some decisions on the fly would be quicker. For them to have you in their home virtually using digital technology would be faster, because now you don't have to wait for evenings or weekends to do an in-home consultation. So there are some pluses with all of these people working from home. You've got to, you know, just kind of stop that negative thought and think about, where can I focus my effort and energy right now? And what is the silver lining here?
So just, I want to say, last week, Lori and I did a show about transferable skills, right? So if you worked in one industry, those skills can be transferred into a completely different industry, right? So even though we're in a crisis, there are opportunities that are not always so apparent. So what I'd like if you could focus on now, Salima, is mindset. So oftentimes people miss opportunities that are right in front of them because their mindset is focused on the panic or what's wrong or why things are bad. So from what you and I discussed, I get that you help people sort of level out their mindset so that they can really cater to their clients and target the right clients instead of a shotgun approach also. So is there a way you can bring those two, like a sort of a niche market, the mindset, you kind of help people do that?
Yes, for sure. And so right now, I mean, as consumers and as business owners, one of the things is, that we're all going through is that information is coming at us from every angle, right? And it's really hard to decide where to focus your efforts, your energy as an interior designer, for example. So first thing is to get some clarity, right? I mean, that is something I'm just going to go right into the strategy of business. Actually, let me step back and you asked me specifically about mindset. One of the things that I would highly recommend anyone who's going through this right now with, you know, family members all working from the same roof, looking after children, trying to be a teacher, trying to be a cook and a cleaner, all of that full time, and having some a semblance of a job, you've got to have some kind of a morning routine. And nothing complicated, nothing like, you know, meditating for hours and and going for long walks. Something that, that takes maybe 5, 10, 15 minutes. And being in gratitude and just getting your mind to stop running in all different directions, getting some clarity, right? Gratitude practice for me works really well. I've tried meditation. It's really hard to focus when things are running in different directions. So I start with gratitude, and that's always a great way for me to get centered. Now, the next thing, when I start my day, I'd like to get some clarity, my focus for that day. And we recommend this to everyone inside our program to start doing this the day they start our program, Fully Booked Designer, and continue. We help them build this as a practice moving forward. So focusing means that you've got 101 different things in your business you could be doing, right? You could be working on your social media, right. You could be working on a website, and you could be working on your email campaign, and you could be working on your invoices and this and that. Focus and spend maybe an hour to 2 hours a day and just say, in that hour or 2 hours, this is what I want to accomplish. And make it very clear. Not like I'm going to work on my social media, but I'm going to put together 5 social media posts, right? So when you have that focus, that helps you keep that momentum. You're able to look back and say, wow, did I accomplish this or what went wrong, right? Those are the only two questions. What did I learn from it or what did I achieve from it? And what can I do better? Now, for business owners who are, you know, looking or asking this question, like, where are my clients? Where do I find my clients? How am I going to get new clients? Where am I going to get new leads? The clarity comes from really getting clear on who your ideal clients are. It's not about dropping your rates and coming up with new services so that you can appeal to a larger audience. It's about getting clear to who your ideal clients are. In any given city, if you're an interior designer, there's probably like millions of homes. And then there are restaurants. And then there are office spaces. There are medical practitioners. All of these could be your clients, right? It could be a residential client. It could be a commercial client. So get very clear on who your ideal clients are. Even if you're a residential interior designer, let me give you an example. Your client could be young professionals living in a condominium or smaller spaces. Or your clients could be young families with, you know, where they're bursting out of the seams. Or they could be semi-retirees or retirees. All four of those people will have very different needs for interior design. Do you agree?
Yes. Absolutely.
So you have to get very clear on who those clients are that you want to work with and what are their needs so that you can then determine what your value is that you bring to them, right? So in this time of crisis, this is super important. The type of messaging, the type of the way you are marketing yourself, you may want to evaluate that and maybe tweak your messaging a little bit.
so that you're not coming across salesy and you're not coming across as a luxury service. But if you were to look at what their immediate needs are right now and connect to those needs, you will become a valuable service provider rather than a luxury nice to have.
Right.
Does that help?
Absolutely. And even you eat that, you know, what you just laid out, you eat that your own cooking, as I was saying earlier, because you've done marketing and marketing strategies in other industries. Did you tell me Baskin-Robbins? Is that what you told me?
Yeah, when I was running my marketing consultancy agency, we worked with with a range of clients from banking to retail to chiropractors and even Baskin-Robbins ice creams. We managed their marketing for Canada. But most of our clients at the time, or a large majority of them, were in the home design decor segment. So whether they were retailers or manufacturers. And so when I created this program, Fully Booked Designer, I wanted it to be an example of how I tackle a business and how I create a new business model. So I wanted to start with a specific clientele. And so I chose to work exclusively with interior designers and decorators and not spread myself across the board of like any business owner. But the way I'm talking right now and giving you, you know, what I know about marketing can apply to many different business owners, right? This program will reach many different business owners. But when inside my program, all the examples, all the content, and the way I cater our support system, it's meant for interior design professionals.
Great.
So that's
great.
An important distinction, even if, you know, let's say lawyers, right? You could be a lawyer, period, or you could be an estate lawyer. You could be a divorce lawyer. You could be a corporate lawyer. You could be a real estate lawyer. So when people are looking for a specific solution to their problem or a solution to their specific problem, they're going to look for someone who specializes in that, not somebody who is general. And even more so when times are tough, right? They're evaluating their dollars.
Right.
So I have a kitchen that is from the 60s. It's got avocado green fridge, and it's got like terracotta tiles. And I want to modernize it because all the doors have now fallen off the hinges. So am I going to go work with a home stager, or am I going to go hire a landscape designer, or am I going to hire a kitchen designer? Right? So
right,
there's
right,
that
right.
analogy right there. Like, we would put our money with people who specialize in certain things. So that's why it's really
right.
important that designers do the same thing and understand, what can I be of service? How can I be of service? How can I cater my messaging to talk to that one specific person who's got the kitchen from 1960s and it just won't do anymore?
So,
right.
So you would suggest that the person not even do bathrooms, they only focus on kitchens? I mean, are you being that narrow in the niche market?
Kitchens and baths tend to go hand in hand, although I have worked with a designer who decided to focus only on baths. So, all kinds of bathrooms. And that's
fine. But if someone
was
doing their basement,
designers tend to go, yeah.
Right, if someone was doing their basement or the living room or the bedrooms, I mean, would you say don't focus on, should... So if Lori says, hey, you know, I do kitchens and bathrooms, and the person says, well, I want my living room, and we're, you know, redoing the entire basement, would you suggest she turn that work down or give it to someone else?
You know what? This is a question that does come up every single time. And I don't know if, Lori, you and I went through this or not, but it does come up. And I say it's up to the designer. But in your marketing, I highly recommend that you focus on one thing, whether it's kitchen and bath or whether it's basement or whether it's, I mean, there's a designer who specializes in nurseries for babies. And then
right.
if you get a lead or if you get a call from someone who's interested in something else, you decide if you want to take that on because it's interesting to you or not. Right?
Okay. All right. Wow.
Yeah,
that's,
I think that
I mean,
would have been
really neat.
Yeah, I think that would have been my answer, would have been if the client is asking you directly, that's very different than marketing yourself that way.
Yeah.
So
agreed.
You're not, you know, opening yourself and saying, well, I do kitchens, baths, and I'll do your basement, and I'll do this, and I'll do that. It's the focus of the marketing piece, but then the clients will come and say, well, do you also do, you know, or can you do my basement so I don't have to call somebody else in?
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Perfect.
Or a lot of times somebody might have seen, you know, their friends, they went over to their friend's place for dinner and they go, wow, such a beautiful dining room. Who did it for you? And then they call that designer and say, I want to get my new dining room done, but it's adjacent to my kitchen. Can you also do the kitchen for me? And those are actually very
right.
different technical skills. So then it's up to the designer if they want to say yes, they're able to, or maybe they'll work with another kitchen designer, or they'll just say, I can only do one part, and you find somebody else for the rest.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Fair
but
enough.
Isn't that nice to have that choice too, right?
Of course.
Yep.
Right. Right.
So,
go ahead, Lori. I want you to go, but at some point I want to give the phone number out just for in case someone wants to call in.
Yeah, no,
sure.
Go ahead, give the phone number.
Sure, the phone number is 516-387-1640. That's 516-387-1640. If you want to call in and you have questions for Salima, if you're in interior design, and because she's worked in a number of industries, and I'm going to, I know it's not your expertise, but this is a case of you do kitchens and bathrooms and someone wants to ask about dining rooms. So if someone has a question even outside of interior design, because you have experience, I'm inviting people to call in and ask you about that also.
Absolutely.
We're all in a crisis, right? So and
yeah,
you have those skills.
Yeah, and I'm going to, you know, just chime in a little bit because this has been an interesting opportunity for me. Even though I'm doing design, I have also been offering my counseling skills. So I said, well, let me put what Salim has taught me to
wow.
use and let me try this whole thing. So I've, you know, put out on some, you know, messages and some Facebooks that this is what I treat. And I've gotten calls specifically, you know, for anxiety. And one woman was really funny, and she called me and she said, I really need marriage and family counseling, but I saw you do anxiety. Could you either refer me or take me on? So she knew what I did. She knew what I was specializing in, and she still liked what I was putting out there and, you know, took it to that next level. So this does apply to everyone and everything. As a testament to Salima as well, you know, and I think it's a really good time to say that, you know, or to look at people do need your skill set, no matter what it is. There are people with financial
right.
questions. If you're a financial planner, there are people with a massive need of therapy. There are people who are scared. There are people who are worried about their business. There are people who don't know how to market. There are people who are trying to market from home. There's a young living business with essential oil, you know, so it is applicable across the board. So again, if anybody wants to call in, 516-387-1640, and I think you had a question for Salima, so back to Salima. Are you guys there?
I am.
I'm here. So sorry, did
yeah. oh, good.
You have a question or did you want me to?
No. I was only going to say the phone number, but
the phone
actually,
number? So let me just tell you, right now, I think a lot of people are going, okay, so I've got my niche, I guess I say niche. I've got my niche determined. I know who I want to work with. I know what type of service I want to provide. Now, how do I find those clients, Salima, especially in this time? So one of the first things that is very easy right now, and you've got to understand what's going on in the market, everyone is online, right? People are scrolling on social media. People are watching TV. Whether that's good or bad, we will leave that for another discussion, but people are online, right? So you want to have your business shining online as well, right? You want to make sure that you have you are visible and you come across as a credible source to provide the solution. So going back to the example of a kitchen and bath designer, I would highly recommend that use this time to either either assess or build some skills on social media marketing. Like Lori is a perfect success story. She didn't want to get to the step two and three that well with me. She went to town with social media and was fully booked for, you know, all throughout winter, right, Lori?
So Oh, my God, yes.
You want to find out where your clients are going to be, whether they're going to be on Instagram, whether they're going to be on LinkedIn or Facebook. For the most part, everyone is on Facebook. Even if they're not going to knock on your door on Facebook and say, I want to hire you, they are going to be scrolling and they're going to be checking you out. The next thing you want to have is a modern, mobile-friendly website. And on that website, you're going to put your best foot forward, right? You don't want to have a website that's dated and you're trying to convince people that that you're a modern-day marketer. That's not going to fly. It's your online domain. It's your showroom online. So you want to take that conversation from, you know, people from social media. You want to have some posts where you are directing traffic to your website. And then from your website, you're going to give them something of value, what we call a lead magnet, or it could be a presentation, it could be a video, but you ask them to opt in for it so that you know who came to your showroom, who came to your website, and they left behind their email, so that now you can have a conversation with them on email, one-on-one. So that's it, three steps that you need to really understand and maximize your efforts in those three channels. Don't worry about all the other things. You could be writing a book, you could be writing blogs, you could be writing articles, you could be, you know, blogging somewhere else. Right now, if you can feel like you've got a strong handle on social media and you're leveraging that, you've got a website that's mobile-friendly and it gives people some kind of a valuable piece of content, i.e. a lead magnet, and that you have some emails that you're sending out regularly, you're staying in touch with those people who came to your website, that would be golden. And in this time of, like, that is something that I, you know, we cover extensively in the program, and this is my advice for people when times are good. Like, this is what you need to have. But right now we're in unique times, so you want to get a little bit more focused on leveraging social media in building connections. Right, spend the part of your morning sending out connection messages on direct mail, on DMs or PMs or in mail, or join local groups and, you know, get yourself known out there with local moms groups or local entrepreneurs groups. A lot of people are having like virtual coffee hour or virtual cocktail hours now because we can't. We can't socialize in person, so people are doing that. So make sure that you are visible in your community on social media as well. Ask for referrals.
in your network of people, but also people that you have done business with in the past. If you've got tradespeople or, you know, contractors or painters that you used to refer business to, it's time to reach out to them and say, hey, I'm also open for business. I'm looking for some referrals. Do you know anybody who's looking for a new kitchen? So
right.
If you can get that, you know, get into that as a regular cadence, your morning process, you'll be much farther ahead and you'll be in a much better position when all of this is said and done.
Well, let me ask you, the
right.
influencer marketing, do you, so you were talking about referrals. Referral is, extremely valuable. How
yeah.
about influencer marketing? I mean, I've heard a little bit of controversy that it's not always the best thing and some people swear by it. So do you ever suggest that to your clients, Selena?
Influencer marketing as in getting an influencer in the industry to promote you?
Correct.
Is that what you mean?
Right. Yes.
I don't cover that. I mean, there are so many other things that you can do. You could do podcasting, you can do writing a book, you can hire PR people. Influencer marketing is one of those things that I don't focus on that, right? Because most of the people who just focus on the social media, the website, and the email marketing, that the way I've laid it out, you can have a pretty decent number of leads and a profitable business just from focusing on those.
Okay, all right. And does that require skill building on your client to be able to do those things, or do you do it for them?
Oh, no, it's a mentoring program. So
okay.
having, managed an agency where we were doing that for our clients, this is a completely different process. We are supporting, we are teaching, we're educating and training our clients to think strategically like a marketer and a business owner, and also
right.
teach them the process of how to implement this. Once they're proficient in it, many of them will outsource it, or many of them will hire a support staff to manage that marketing. But you see, if you don't know what you're looking for, what you're asking them to
right.
do, then there's no way for you to measure if they're doing it the right way or not. And then you wonder, like, how come this is not working out? I think, Lori, you had that experience.
I did. I had gone through person after person after person, and then all of a sudden, I found you, and it was kind of this whole learning process, which is what I really liked about your program to begin with. It wasn't, I'm going to do it for you, and you're still lost when I lose you. It was, let me teach you, and now I can hire somebody and, mentor them, monitor them, and be on top of it to know what's wrong, what's not wrong, what's working. If they're out sick, I can, pick up the slack, and I know what a hashtag is, and I know what an at sign is. And, these are very useful things, because as a business owner, I don't want to just rely on my people. I want to be the lead person and have them be my support staff.
Exactly. So I'll give you an example of just that in another client that was experiencing this. She was paying hundreds of dollars to an SEO company on a monthly basis. And I think they had a relationship for 18 months. So we calculated that she must have paid them maybe $5,000 or $6,000 by that time. And I said, so how many people have you come across from your website? Like, SEO is all about getting search engine optimization so people can Google and find you. And she said, in the last 18 months, I've had like two random people who've... So when you look at it, that's a $5,000 lead, right?
Right.
And she didn't know what was going on. She didn't know what they were doing. She didn't know what any of that meant. I said, you could spend that in learning some skills on, and now you have, let's go back to your episode 2,
now you have transferable skills, right? You've now invested in yourself, and you can now know when to pivot if market shrinks, if the market changes, if the market collapses, and you can decide if you want to, you know, which direction you want to go in or where you want to put your effort in. Should you be putting your effort in social media or website? You can call the shots.
Well, it's partly leadership skills, it sounds like you're focusing on, because when I was listening to Lori say that you were able to outsource and then lead the whole process, like lead the services and knowing exactly what the outcomes you were seeking, but it required some level of leadership skills, except you just needed to know enough about it to be able to lead it. Otherwise, as Salima was saying, if you don't know what to expect, where are you leading people?
Right, and I was losing money. I mean, I was paying someone $500 a month, like that other person, and, you know, what did I see? Nothing. There was no return, and as soon as I started doing it myself, it was like client after client. I think I had 4 phone calls in one day. It was like, oh, my God, I don't even have time to do my website and have, you know, this offer of things. It's like, all right.
I think you even found, like, you had a new client on Thanksgiving or Eve or something. I think you remember talking about that, which is like usually no one, you know, again, some other designer's probably thinking they're going, nobody's hiring. It's November. It's Thanksgiving. It's the holidays. But people were hiring. They were hiring people who that they found knew their stuff, and they found them online.
Yep. Yeah, there I was. It was like 4 o'clock.
Exactly.
Everybody was ready to show up.
Yeah, there you go. And right now, this is exactly what we're going through. There are so many business owners out there, whether they're designers, decorators, or any other profession, service providers, who are thinking no one is hiring because such and such person lost their job or so and so, you know, businesses shut down. But you could sit there and wait for all of this to pass, or you can really evaluate what you want to, what value you create, who is your ideal client. And then, you know, go to get and improve your marketing and your sales skills.
Right.
So
exactly.
Geographically, Salima, geographically, does it matter where your clients are located?
For me specifically, or are we talking generally?
For you, your clients, does it matter if they are, you know, within 10 miles of you, or
no,
does it matter?
No, not at all. We work with clients. Actually, some of my first clients were from the United States, and I'm based in Toronto. So, and then gradually, I've got, I think now, an equal mix of Americans and Canadians. So geographically, no. I've also worked with, and actually currently working with, clients from UK, Australia, and Caribbean.
Wow,
so,
congratulations.
You know, if there are, what we teach is online skills. And thanks to the likes of HGTV and YouTube channels, you know, clients are savvy. They're going online, they're researching, they're watching those shows, and they want their designers to be able to step up to that challenge too. So the interior designers need to learn or update or upgrade new skills so that they can be of service to their clients.
I agree.
So I have a sort of a crazy question.
Do I have to answer the crazy question?
Oh, do you have to? Oh, the crazy. well, you'll tell me if you want to answer. So you're doing business in more than one country. Where do you, when it comes to the ultimate client, like not your client, the buyer of interior design services, where do you think from the interior design clients you have, where do you think the most demanding ones are? Are they in the U.S.? Are they in the U.K., Canada? I hear in Canada you all are so civil and more relaxed, like, you know, so... Does that show up in the demands of as a buyer of interior design services? Who's more demanding?
No, I think it would be a very I don't think so. You know what? Interior design service can range as well, right? Some of it is a short it's a short term kind of a engagement. And for some people, it can be a very long-term engagement with a client. So it's not really the buyer behavior, and there isn't any kind of general rule of thumb that the Americans are all nice. Listen, if you know my kitchen was completely gutted right now and my contractors couldn't come into the work site and I had to order every single meal as a takeout while we're quarantined, I would not be such a nice Canadian, right? So I don't think there's a general statement. But I think if you turn that question around a little bit, there's a nugget in there as well that you want to be very careful and very selective on who your ideal client persona is as a designer, right? Because you are going to be going into people's homes or you're going to be building a relationship with these people. It's not like a drive-through transaction. So you want to be very careful and give some thought about, get clarity on who it is that you want to be working with. Do you want to be working with semi-retirees or would you rather work with young professionals? Pros and cons.
So I'm going to say that we have 3 minutes left, and I would just like you to say if anybody wants to reach out to you, Salim, if you want to give them your information.
Oh, thank you so much. My program is called Fully Booked Designer, so you can go to our website, fullybookeddesigner.com, and has a lot of great information for designers and also tons of free resources that you want to take advantage of. You can download some of our workbooks and get started in building the business of your dream. Or you can schedule a call to see if our mentorship program is right for you. So it's right there on fullybookeddesigner.com. Thank you, Lori.
And I'm going to post that on. Thank you. Oh, my God. It was such a pleasure having you. And thank you for reassuring us that it's not the end of the world.
No,
just the end of the world as we know it. And is Lori Miller from LGC Interior Design and my co-host, Ted Santos. Ted?
So, yes, Salima, thank you for sharing your time and your knowledge with us. Greatly appreciate it. And I want to say thank you to all the callers and listeners. And, we appreciate what you've shared with us, Salima. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And this is the Creative Alchemist signing off. Stay tuned for next week, Thursday night at 7 o'clock. It's Ted and Lori with the Creative Alchemist. Thank you, Salima. It was a pleasure having you.
Thank you.
And Salima, thank you for answering my crazy question. We'll see everyone next week. Take care and have a great evening, everyone. Goodbye.
Yes, have a great evening. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.